We are teaching through the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, and we have arrived at chapter 3, verse 10. We spent a lot of time on it last week, but I thought, you know what, I want to come back to it because it's a perfect Christmas celebration verse. That at first it may not seem like it, but as we go, you will see how important this verse is. And so I'd just like you to read this with me. We're just all going to read it together instead of having the yellow and the white, all right? To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the evil principalities and powers in heavenly places. Sorry, that was my... do I have it in there? No, okay. Anytime that the powers and authorities are mentioned, that is the Satan and his hosts. And what this scripture is saying, that it is our job to make known what Christ has done for us to Satan and his army of angels. And the Christmas celebration is certainly a time of making it known that our King was born and raised and became like us and died for our sin, was buried and rose on the third day. Amen? And we want to declare that to the principalities and powers because we want them to know we know. We want them to know that we know we've won. We've read the last chapter. We win, okay? And so you might say to me, but Christmas isn't such a good time because it's moved away from what it was. It's become commercial and about Santa Claus, and the whole meaning of Christmas has been diluted. And you know that because as you get out of your car and you walk to your house, you have to step over the papers they've thrown. I take a two-wheeler out to our mailbox with all the ads and all that kind of thing that just goes straight from my mailbox to the garbage because I just don't like looking at them. And so when we stop and we think, well, wait a minute, it's about Santa Claus, it's about presents and Christmas trees and it's been diluted and nobody gets it. Well, actually, yes, but no. Does that clear it up for you? Okay, all right. I want to talk to you a little bit. The Christmas that we know today with the birth of Jesus Christ is relatively new in our history in terms of celebration. It's only the past 200 years that we've declared to the principalities and powers that be that the birth of our Christ is on December 25th in any real fashion. And before you wish for the old-time Christmas, the old-fashioned Christmas, you need to understand what the old-fashioned Christmas really was like. And let me just give you a little history on that. Up until the 1800s, it was largely an indulgent, scary, offensive celebration. Now, I don't know, have many of you looked at the history of Christmas? Okay, just a few of you. Compared to what we celebrate today, most all of us would be appalled and even frightened at the way the people in early America, when they came over here, actually celebrated Christmas. Christ was not a part of the day at all. This was a day set aside for singing rowdy and boisterous songs, getting drunk on rum, and ignoring the laws and even terrorizing the citizens and the carols that we talk about. The carolers that we think of now were musicians and actors that presented gross plays in the street and sang songs and incited riots of hate. And it was a time of wicked parades where people dressed in awful costumes and, as I said before, ignored the laws and terrorized the citizens. So those who attended church did so in wild costumes, and the messages of the priests were not biblically based at all. But gambling was common while the service was going on. People would be gambling in the seats. And after church, the poor would often storm the houses of the elite, pounding on the doors and windows and demanding the finest food and drink. And if the host didn't respond quick enough, they broke into the house and they took anything that they wanted, and the people in the house couldn't do anything about it. Boy, doesn't that sound like good Nice cheery Christmas. This combination holiday of Mardi Gras and Halloween was nothing like what we experience today, but instead celebrating the shortest day or close to the shortest day of the year, it was about the sun and Saturn. And so these people worshiped the sun and Saturn. Even if they were Christians, they participated in that. So how did Christ's birthday come into being for December 25th? Well, Pope Julius I in 320 AD declared December 25th as the celebration day of Christ's birth. 5 years later, Constantine, who has just had been converted to Christianity, introduced Christmas as an immovable feast on December 25th, and that's how it got going, all the riotous things. I don't think that's what Constantine had in mind, but and it took the church leaders 15 centuries to come up with a plan to counteract the worship of Sun and Saturn and replace it with the worship of our living God, the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, change didn't come quickly. With the birth of Christ going head-to-head against these pagan celebrations, many of the Christians would choose to celebrate the pagan holidays and totally celebrate and then repent of their sin, come back and repent of their sin when it was over, when the parties were finished. Sounds kind of like the U.S., doesn't it? But those who instead chose to celebrate Christ's birthday in church did so in the same manner, but they did it in the same way that, with the partying and in crummy behavior. And it wasn't until 1822, a minister and educator by the name of Clement Mark Moore wrote a poem for his kids on Christmas Eve, A Visit from St. Nick. And a year later, they published it in the New York Sentinel, and we know it as the night before Christmas, making Christmas something that was finally about the children, because up until that time, it was never about the children. Then in 1834, Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. Now, a lot of you have seen different versions of the Christmas Carol. It's like my favorite Christmas. Every year, I have to watch the Christmas Carol, or it just doesn't seem like Christmas. And in 1834, he wrote that and also made it about children and giving and hope and love and family. And so he came up with the character of Scrooge, who represented the common thinking of the industrial magnates of that day, wanting them to stop and reflect about what's really important in life besides money. Over the next 20 to 30 years, the celebration of Christmas changed from drunkenness and riots of the day to family, giving to each other and to the poor, and a time of worship. And thanks to Santa Claus, I'm going to say this, okay? Thanks to Santa Claus and presents and store decorations in the windows, advertising displays, and we even came out with Coca-Cola Santa, which is our modern Santa. Coca-Cola invented that, okay? The evil holiday disappeared with it because it got too crowded out. And there's little remembrance of what's left. In fact, when I ask you how many of you know, we really don't know, do we? We don't know about that history anymore. Thank God that history's gone. I don't care if it's Santa Claus or Chevy Mustang. Whatever it takes to get rid of that evil holiday, so that we can worship our Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And so the Christmas that we have today is relatively new. In fact, it's just a matter of a few generations old where we began to trade pleasant presents and put Christmas trees in, and it was a successful replacement of the wicked celebration of our early American heritage. It was a long struggle for the Christian world to stop celebrating that evil worship of Saturn, the sun, and other gods of the past and return to Christ and his birthday. And, you know, I think about that, and I think the powers that be have moved it away from the principalities and powers, the evil ones, and it took department stores and non-believers in Christ even to create Santa as we know it today. But the idea of giving gifts to each other and loving on each other in celebration of Jesus Christ's birth is the same thing that the wise men did, and it is a practice that has gotten diluted with us as far as Jesus' birth goes, but it has a right place. And this replacement of the horrible celebration that left families in fear behind closed doors, hoping that these crowds would not come to their doors, no longer lives. So today we proclaim the birth of Christ on December 25th as a day that Christ was born, and the loving celebration of giving others love to others as he first loved us. So the question comes to mind, was it December 25th that Jesus was actually born? No. Okay. You have to understand, if you know Israel's history, that when you get to December through April, it's the rainy season. And when it's the rainy season, they have a lot of limestone, and it gets real slippery, and you can hardly walk if you're out in the wilderness. And so that's why in the scriptures, I don't know if you ever noticed, but if you're reading on the kings of Israel, say, and when it was that time, the men go out to war. And I look at that every time and think, wow, that's an interesting statement, that there was a certain time. That was after the rainy season, because they'd have all this garb on and their spears and swords, and they'd slip all over the limestone, and they just go back home and wait till the rain stopped. So, you know, when you're thinking about shepherds, typically they wouldn't have been in their field. They would have been in caves. And Israel is full of caves all over. And so they would take their sheep and they would live in the caves and have a fire, stay warm. December in Israel is just like December here. It can get really cold, and they would have been in there. And the scripture says that they were out with their flocks at night. That wouldn't have been true. And people would not have been traveling for the census when Caesar declared that they'd be counted, not at that time, because can you imagine how it would have been with Mary and Joseph walking over all, and I'm telling you, Israel is full of these rocks, bedrock. They'd have been slipping and sliding, and here she is probably 8 months pregnant. How you ladies that have just had kids, would that have been a lot of fun slipping on that limestone? Yeah, it wouldn't work. So there's a lot of theories. Most of the theories are that he was born in September. And most scholars believe that's that it might have been sometime around Easter. The problem is that's still the rainy season, okay? So I think September is probably accurate. And we went in September last year, and it was over 100 degrees during the daytime because it's very hot there when it gets hot. And so they would have been able to travel at night and that kind of thing and get there. So, but the real question I have for you this morning about Jesus being born on December 25th is, does it really matter? You know, we can get all wrapped around the axle about, no, it's not September or December 25th. But here's the thing. What matters is we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the giving of gifts is not meant to be what it is now, where you look and look. And, you know, I was out with my wife the other night, and she goes, you're not really a good shopper. And it's just, I can't take it. Well, you know, see, it used to be when we were really young, it was pretty easy to go out and get in presents, but everybody pretty much has everything now. So you really have to be inventive. Am I the only one? No, okay. And so you have to go out and try to figure out what you can get for them. And I know we were at 8:30 on Friday night, and we were in Old Navy, and we're walking around, and you know how it is, guys. Ain't much to look at, is it? If we're Costco, we at least go to the tool section or the electronics. But and so I just said, it's 8:30 or it's 8:45, let's go home. You know, and I look at that, but what is the real thing? The real thing is we are given gifts to people because it's the same thing that the wise men did to the Lord Jesus Christ because of their love of this Messiah that was going to rise up and rule Israel. And we give gifts to people because we love them. Because the Father loved us first and sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us 2,000 years ago. And what can we give back but love? And so when we give a gift, it's about loving other people. It's not about the gift or what it is. It's about loving each other. And this year, when you give out the gifts and you start to hand it, remember, it's not Saturn, and it's not the sun, and it's not riotous, and it's not stealing, and it's not ignoring all the laws. It's pure love to the person you're giving the present to. And as you give it to them, we can praise Jesus Christ for what he did for us. Amen? So I say, let's keep it. Why change it? It's celebrating Jesus Christ's birth. That's the main thing. And it's a victory for God. It's a victory for us as Christians. And we've replaced evil for good. Praise God. And so we celebrate it this way. And I want to just read this from Luke, the Christmas story today. And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus to all the world that they should be registered. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So they got to Bethlehem. And then it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And you need to understand that our TV has Bethlehem as this kind of semi-city. And so Joseph is going from inn to inn. You notice that it says the inn because there's only one, because Bethlehem at maximum only had 100 people in it, okay? And at that time, at least that's what the scholars say. And so he went to the inn to see if they could get in. They couldn't. Then they went out with the animals, and she gave birth. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came and made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things in which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's the Christmas story, amen? That's the Christmas story. You know, and if you want to hide from the commercialism and the thrown papers and all the songs blasting in the mall and that kind of thing, boy, do I understand, and we all understand. But the rulers and powers that we declare the birth of Christ to will always be out to confuse us. Do you understand that? And they will do anything to take us off the mark. And so I'd much rather have Santa Claus than I would the old shortest day of the year celebration. Amen? But we have to stay grounded as Christians. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ, and we celebrate it on December 25th. And remember, it's about loving one another because he first loved us. And it's about giving to others because he gave to us first. And we may be able to think of it this way, that when the shepherds saw the angels, it said they were afraid. Do you remember that? And what was the first thing out of the Lord's mouth? Do not be afraid. Why? Because Jesus Christ was born, and we know now the last chapter. And I look at that and I think, man, there's a day in which we will be standing or sitting or we'll be prostrate in front of the throne. Who knows what that's going to be like? We're probably going to be so overwhelmed we can't conceive of what it must be like to look at the throne in heaven. And we read about the glassy sea. We read about all of the archangels surrounding the throne. You know, and we will see Jesus in all of his glory and splendor, not the human Jesus, but the Jesus that has splendor and glory, and Macy's and Target's and Walmart's advertisements will no longer be a part of our lives. Amen? Woohoo! Yeah. And we will be free because he will set everything right. And we will know real love from a gentle man who gave you and I an eternal life gift. A gift that Paul says in 2 Corinthians is the indescribable gift. And that gift is eternal life. So we don't need to fear, my friends. When he said, do not fear, he didn't mean that just for the shepherds. He meant it for all of us that we're going to fall in love with Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear because one day we're going to stand in front of him. All this is going to be over. Are you ready? So in the meantime, remember, when you see the tree and you hand out the presents, love one another. Amen. Father, we come this morning just praising you and thanking you for all that you've given us. Lord, you know, when we stop to think it in America, we have everything. We have to look hard to see if there's anything that we need in our family's life or our friend's life when we're buying presents. And Lord, we look at the rest of the world and they don't have that. And Lord, I just pray that we will be able to offer the gift of love. I pray that we will be able to give out just like to the family that we were able to share with yesterday as they delivered the presents. Lord, I just thank you for that. And I thank you that it was a great thing in their life and something that they were thrilled to death over. And Lord, I just pray that we as a church and a body of Christ will be able to love others like that all 365 days. While our heads are bowed, you may be here this morning and you came and don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you're here just for Christmas. Maybe you've been coming a little bit, but you really haven't taken the time to think, you know, I want God to be in my life. The scripture says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death, but it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in Romans 10:9, it tells us how we can have that relationship. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to say a little prayer and you can just whisper this prayer with me as I pray it, knowing that you're going to ask God to come into your life, Christ to come into your life, and change your life. The prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and I realize that he rose from the dead for me. So come into my life and save me today, and let me live for you. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it, will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business this morning. Just raise it up, put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, we come today, first of all, praising you that we all here know you as Savior, that Christ came and he died for us. And as a result of that, we have eternal life. And so, Lord, this week, whether it be Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, and we're going to start the Tuesday night celebration here and go off to whatever parties or stay here and fellowship together and then have a time with families or friends or whoever we gather with to celebrate your birth. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you came and became like us and live like us so you know exactly what we're going through. And then you offered a relationship with us by grace alone, by faith alone. And Lord, we just don't even know what to say. We're overwhelmed with that. But we give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.